Greetings from Long Time No See, the podcast. Every week, we'll be inviting two blindfolded comedians to answer a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Now, let's remove those blindfolds and start the show.
Hi!
What would your opening line with your celebrity crush be?
Loved you in Harry Potter.
Worst date you've been on?
A man bit my neck mole off once.
You did what?
A man bit my neck mole off.
Oh my God, Jack almost fell off his chair.
Be sure to follow and subscribe to the podcast.
So you want to be a rock and roll star? No? Well, how about a podcast star? Well, as it turns out, there's a new all-in-one platform just for you. It's called Anchor, and it's the easiest way to make a podcast. And check this out. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. And then Anchor will distribute the podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and, you know, everywhere else in podcast land. And what's even better, you can actually make money from your podcast. Go figure. No minimum listenership on that. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go ahead. Download the free Anchor app right now or go to anchor.fm to get started. So what are you waiting for? Podcast stardom is within your reach.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith with the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence of Sound and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you so much for checking out the episode and the series here. If you like what you hear and you're not already, I hope you hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all of the interviews that we put out every single week. Three brand new ones, one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. A great way to keep up with all of your favorite artists, discover some new ones, know what's happening in the music world. Of course, you can find us in all the major podcasts hotspots like iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. In fact, YouTube is where you'll find the video version of this next interview right here. I'm Kyle Meredith, and my guest is my buddy Cheryl Crew. We joke that we do this interview. We do an interview with each other about once a year, which leads to a really funny comparison that you'll get from her towards the end of the interview. But what we're talking about here, she's been very busy with new music lately. If you remember, it was last year that she released Threads, which she called her final album, and that it would be singles from here on out. And we're starting to see those for the first time. First is an updated version of a song she put out a little over 10 years ago called Woman in the White House. Originally kind of an old-style country tune that's now been given new life and speaks to everything happening politically in the United States at this moment. She'll talk a little bit about Kamala Harris and her run for the vice presidency next to Joe Biden. And then the brand new original song, a track called In the End, which I gotta tell you has instantly become one of my favorite Sheryl Crow songs. We get the story behind it. I tie it to the lineage of her song Halfway There. She talks about leading with compassion, money being in politics. She says it's actually pushing her to become a libertarian. The harm and danger of the religious right and the immediacy of the music she's writing right now and allowing herself to be a commentator since it's less album-based and more singles release-it-now-based. Cheryl will also be talking about her virtual live series she's been doing, possibly doing the Globe Sessions, a complete version of that album live next, and her Audible autobiography that just came out. So let's get into it. It's Kyle Meredith with Sheryl Crew.
Hi, Kyle.
How's everything going in the barn these days?
You know, it's been kind of a productive time. I mean, I'm ready for it to be over, honestly. Sure. I'm way over it, but I'm really lucky. I mean, I play a lot of instruments, so I can accompany myself, and we've been really, you know, I've been trying to keep my band busy and being really creative, and my kids are always asking me, Mom, why are you practicing? And I'm like, because when you practice, you actually get better. And they're both taking, like, music lessons. They're like, mm-hmm. Why are you practicing? I'm like, stop, just because you think you know what you're doing. But it's been okay. You know, we've done quite a few quarantine videos and we've had a good reaction to those. People are like, we want you to put those out because we like them better than the albums.
Oh.
I know, right? So I'm like, yes, because we know it better now. We didn't really know the song when we were first recording it. But yeah, it's been good. And the live shows that we've done have been so far really well received, and we're going to keep going.
Yeah, it's been really fun to watch all of that. And I'll pick up something that you said about knowing the songs better, because in all of this, we sort of get one of those moments too with the song Woman in the White House. This is a track you did, you know, about 10 years or so ago. And you've given it an update for obvious reasons, as we know are now in this heated political season once again. But the song started out very different. I mean, this was originally a bit more of a country song. It sounds like in the original version. So aside from the obvious, and we'll be talking about the politics too, but musically, you know, what was on your mind to update it?
So the song came out on Feels Like Home, which was the sort of country-tinged record, and Hillary Clinton was running for president, and it was kind of tongue-in-cheek. It was very kind of country-oriented, like actually old-school country-oriented. In fact, we even mentioned Loretta Lynn in it. Quite a few years have gone by that it continued to add to the 230-something years of not having a female in the White House, and this time when we did it, it felt much more aggressive, and you know, we did it in a way that felt much more in your face, and you know, just in reflecting how many amazing females historically have led countries. I mean, obviously Angela Merkel and Margaret Thatcher, but I mean, all the way back to Golda Meir, and women in so many countries that aren't even as forward-thinking as America. The fact that we're still, you know, men are not so willing to vote for a woman, and women are not so not so committed to voting for a woman. And that to me speaks volumes about where we're at. You know, we keep this conversation about inequity, inequality and women's pay, and I still find that we're having a lot of the same conversations that we've had for the last, you know, 20, 30 years. And, it's worth investigating why we're still stuck in this place. So we'll see what happens with this election. Obviously, we're not voting for a female to be president, but the possibility of Kamala Harris becoming president is a real one if Joe Biden wins.
Yeah, so. That's true. And who knows what the future holds, but I do love that there was one point that Joe Biden said, you know, that it's on his mind to purposely be a one-term president to get the vice president. And it's almost like it is that. If you're voting for Joe, you're almost voting for Kamala, which would be great. Would be great.
It'd be great. And she's, you know, she's qualified and she is, you know, prepared. And this goes all the way back to Geraldine Ferraro. You know, it's time. It is time. You know, I always say this sort of in jest, but it's true. You know, there have been no women that have taken us into a war. So let's see what happens if we have a different kind of communicator in the White House.
Absolutely.
And let's get to a point where we don't define a strong woman as a bitch.
Absolutely. Well, I always appreciate, you know, you speaking out on this. I know we're on the same page. I'm 99% sure we're voting for the same party here. So it's so this song comes out and is very quickly followed by a brand new song. In the end, I know I compliment you a lot every single time we talk.
That's why I love you.
I was trying to think, like, you know, if you want to call whatever chapter of your career we're on, I was like, maybe this is like chapter 3 of the hard chapter stops or whatever. This is the best thing. Like, I've loved so much that has come out of this. It seems to me, lyrically, almost a very natural progression of when you started from halfway there, that song. Mm. And you know, not just in, you know, playfulness with those lyrics halfway there and in the end, but really going further down that line, too. It's an amazing song. I can't get enough of it. But it's also an important song, what you're saying here. So let's hear about this one, too, because obviously, again, am I off by saying this comes really further down the line from what you were talking about with Halfway There?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I think I'm always coming from this place of, I'll tell you, I heard the Dalai Lama speak 20 years ago about compassion. And he said one thing that I thought, well, that is just the simple truth. Unfortunately, it is the human struggle. But if every decision was made from a place of compassion, and no matter what field you're in, whether you're a parent or whether you're the head of a major company or a world leader, that the world would be a completely different place. And it's just that simple. And Halfway There addresses it addresses people having differences, but finding that common ground, because we do have more in common than we don't. In the end, it addresses karma. And karma, it basically seems to be owned by, in people's minds, by Eastern religions. But I look at karma as being a simple truth of whatever you put out into the universe will come back to you. You know, I'm constantly telling my boys when we give money to these guys on the street that sell the newspapers, the dollar newspapers in Nashville. I've got one child that's like, Mom, can you give it? How much do you have? Can you give him $100? And then I've got my other son who's like, Mom, you know, he probably drives a Ferrari. He probably has an amazing house. You know, I've got like the empath and the accountant. And I'm constantly saying, look, it's everything in life is about intention. And if you have the means to lift someone else up and you don't do it, you miss out on your blessing. I mean, you miss out on the good energy that comes back to you. You can be a cynic, but what you'll get is you'll get cynicism. It will all come back to you, you know, and I really do believe that. And I believe when you have people in the White House or people in businesses who are out there hawking vaccinations with trackers and everything else, we've gotten to a place where everything is about money. It's all about money. You know, I'm actually renouncing my membership to the Democratic Party, and I'm going to become a libertarian, because I feel like now we're at a point where the government is so paid by these special interest groups that nobody on Capitol Hill works for us. And, you know, our public servants are supposed to make $174,000 a year, and they make millions. And I just keep saying, what is wrong with this picture when they have to answer to the people that are getting them elected? There's no compassion in that. There's no empathy in that. And that's what the song is about. It's like when you had an opportunity to help all these people of color who are, they're the ones that are suffering the most from job loss and from poor healthcare and COVID. Are you doing anything about it? I scratch my head and say, man, we parents need to start modeling to our children in order for them to get some idea of how to save their future, because we're not helping. I mean, I don't see us as you know, middle-aged and on up. I don't see us modeling to our kids what's really important. And we need to start really taking that into account and holding, you know, being accountable for that.
And leading with compassion. I mean, it is, I've heard the Dalai Lama talk about, you know, the quotes and everything come from there. That's always struck me as something. There's a part in this song in the end. I think everybody concentrates really on that first verse because, you know, you come out swinging with it. But really the second verse, as I'm looking at here, I mean, that's a powerful statement right there. I mean, and I guess I am tying in a little bit religion with what we're talking about too, because there's a man on the cross with his arms open wide and a fear that they'll quench the world's fires. And it goes, I'd actually like for you to talk about that a little bit too, because that second verse seems to kind of add, I guess, to what you're talking about here.
Yeah, I mean, I am a Christian. I am also an avid meditator, which I don't believe is owned by any particular religion. I mean, I have my opinions about the conservative right, not the conservative right, but the religious right that basically fund the presidency, that fund the Republican candidates. You know, we all know that Falwell was a person that was very integral in Trump getting the nomination. And this song was written before Falwell. The point of it is that there is a large population of people that use the ideals of Christianity as being an excuse for judgment and condemnation. And I was talking with this friend of mine yesterday who was saying, there's no place in the Bible where God or where Jesus condemned. I mean, the woman at the well who committed adultery, and all these people want to stone her. And Jesus said, let the one without sin cast the first stone. You know, that I think it's so hypocritical to cling to Jesus as an identity or for being emblematic of a belief system that is completely antithetical to what Jesus stood for. I mean, Jesus lifted up the weakest of us. And brought in and fed those who were without. And we don't live by the Beatitudes, certainly. And even, I mean, if I can go out on a limb on the pro-choice issue, I mean, not pro-choice, but the pro-life issue. I mean, that is a way for politics to keep people in a political party. Because if you really were pro-life, you would be at the border trying to help these little babies who were separated from their parents find their families. Or you would be up in arms when children were starving in our own backyards. You know, it's so I find that, you know, Christ and the tear that can quench the world fires. I mean, right here in Tennessee with Marsha Blackburn, who is a naysayer of climate change. And it's just shocking. Everything cannot be about politics. It has to be about, as my parents say, leaving the campground better than how you found it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just that simple. And I don't know. I really, you know, if I were to do anything besides music, I think I would try and really work hard to get a constitutional convention brought about. I mean, we have had them in the past, and it's really time to look at the Constitution. And although Marsha Blackburn says that you cannot change the Constitution, and I will say that she would not be in the office, nor would she have the right to vote unless we had done that.
Yeah, change the Constitution, right?
You know, I would like to see us look at the Constitution from a more compassionate angle and really address some of the things that are archaic, that were based on a colony of 13 or based on a country that was much smaller and that was growing but spread out and that was based on landowners. And I just think there has to be a way to bring people together to look at what is best for people. And one of those things is getting money out of the pockets of the people who are defined as public servants. And they're not going to do it.
Right. So, 'cause why would they?
Right.
Yeah.
They're also not going to pass term limits. You know, there's a multitude of things they're not going to do because it doesn't behoove them.
Well, once again, I mean,
we didn't know this was going to be so uplifting, did you, Kyle?
There's so much packed into that song. And that was my point. I mean, honestly, that's what I was hoping for. There is so much packed into that song. And I'll bring it around too, because you've been writing like this for, you know, all throughout your career. You've written many different types of song, but, you know, you've addressed stuff in the past. Have you noticed if it's changed the way you would write? And I want a blanket statement here saying politically, you know, especially as we've gotten closer to the moment we're in now, have you noticed that how you write a political song in this way has changed?
Well, all I can say is everything is everything to me right now. Like, for instance, making Threads became sort of a stepping off point at saying, I don't have to make albums anymore. I mean, I also don't get to make albums anymore in my mind, because it takes so much time and so much money, and you're putting stuff together that you just want to go, it needs to come out now. It should just come out now. And aren't we that civilization now where we want it now anyway, and in a minute it's going to be gone. And so if we are abandoning this idea of making an album statement, a full journey, a beginning, a middle, and an end, then writing this way for me is, it's so in the immediate, and it's almost like being it's like being a commentator. And it's really, for me, it's joyful. It's also full of not just immediacy, but a real urge to, I guess, just to address the elephant in the room. And obviously the elephant for all of us looks a lot, you know, different shades according to our belief systems. But it's a great time to be an artist, you know. It's also a great time to be a 58-year-old artist, because I'm never going to compete with Ariana Grande, and I'm certainly never going to compete with Cardi B, and I'm not going to be relevant to the 13 to 26 demographic. And there's liberation in that, you know. There's liberation in the fact that I know when I write a song that I'm not the only one that feels the way I feel, and that music has been everything historically. It's been the pop songs, but it's also been the protest songs. And there was a time when protest songs actually got played on the radio, before radio was all about money, but there are so many different avenues of ways to get people to hear music, and people know so many different ways to find music. And so, you know, I just feel like it's a part of my DNA, and it's just what I love. And I cannot not write about the things that I see and feel. I'm raising two little boys who are asking me the hard questions every day on the way to school. And it's on my mind and on my heart.
Well, they end up being great songs. And I will say about, you know, keeping up, you know, competing with Ariana or Cardi, it makes me think of like when you first came around, you know, how you were kind of taken in by all of your heroes. And now it's these new pop artists who are calling you their hero. It's like, you know, that's, you know, you might not be competing on the pop charts, but at the same time, you're still very much in the conversation. And I think that speaks everything about the music that you still put out. I mean, that's...
Oh, that is really cool. You know, there is a lot of incredible music being made. You know, I am of the age, and I am raising two little boys, where I am now the Tipper Gore in the car. I'm constantly like, you can't listen to that, you know, or I'm sorry, we're not going to listen to that. And unfortunately, that's what they, you know, that's what's at pop radio. It's pretty much all about sex, and they're young enough that a lot of the stuff that's in the songs, they don't understand yet. So that's funny. My 10-year-old, who was 7 at the time, was going around, strip that down for me, you know.
I mean, to be fair, I remember singing "Let's Talk About Sex, Baby," you know, back when I was.
I can remember learning to play "Whoa, whoa, 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 my love does it good," and my dad coming in and saying, "What did you just play? You're not going to play that anymore," you know. So yeah, there's going to be censorship wherever there is a parent and a child.
Sure. Sure.
But there's such good music out there. We have a great radio station here that is an independent radio station called Lightning 100. And I'm constantly Shazamming. And, you know, it's fun to be still being inspired by young artists, you know, and old artists. I mean, I still listen. I go to Robert Plant. I'm just like, dude, you are still writing amazing music. Mm-hmm. So you just have to dig a little bit harder. But nonetheless, I love it.
Yeah, I know those Lightning guys well with Rev. Of course, we have WFPK here in Louisville. And
they have great radio stations there, too.
We love those guys down here. I'll wrap up with just what's next then. I mean, should we expect, you know, some more songs like this leading into this? Do you have more things to say musically going into the election? Or?
Oh, no, I have nothing more to say.
I don't believe that a second.
We just did songs from the Big Green Barn last Friday and Saturday, and it's still up. You can still buy tickets for it. And that was really fun. It was fun now that it's out. At the time, it was the weirdest thing. We did a live show. It was an hour and a half outside, me and three of my bandmates. We had one tech and a sound guy and some cameras. And then we came in the next day and did an acoustic set in here, and it's very storytellers. You know, it's an odd thing now to play for nothing, for no one. You know what I mean? I'll go out and I'll play shows, and there'll be like a multitude of people holding up their phones, and it's just like, put your phone down. But now I'm playing for phones with no people holding them. So it's really weird, but we got that under our belt. So we'll continue to do that in different formations. I think we'll do next one, we may do the Complete Globe Sessions live. We're just going to try to keep the ball rolling and keep as many of my folks working as possible. We also just did Audible. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with Audible? And that was really interesting as well. I heard James Taylor's Audible, and that's the reason when they asked me to do it, I said, yeah, I'll do it. Because I think now with social media and all the branding and everything is very calculated, to hear somebody actually tell the intimate stories, the ones you don't necessarily get to read about, or the ones that aren't, you know, blown up in People or Us or whatever. It's the real intimate stuff that I think gives you a glimpse into people's real life struggles. And I don't know. I wound up doing that. And I talked a lot about some things I've never talked about. And that was definitely cool. So, you know, I'm just going to keep first raising my kids, and then secondly, just making music.
Well, we're so appreciative that you do, too. Thank you so much for the music that you made and that you continue to make. We're going to be there for every single single. We'll be there.
You're awesome. Thank you. I'll definitely be talking with you next year, right after I get my mammogram.
That's what I hope for every year. Kyle Meredith interview mammogram. We're once a year, every time.
That's right. That's right.
Awesome. Awesome.
Good to see you.
Yeah, you too. We'll see you around next time.
All right. You will.
Oh, my thanks as always to Sheryl Crow. Now, if you look elsewhere in the series, we do an interview like every year with each other. So there is another episode in the Kyle Meredith With series. If you search that in Sheryl Crow, you'll find a compilation of all the past interviews that we've done there. I'm not going to include it here. This thing would be like an hour and a half or so long. But you can search for that in podcast land or, of course, on YouTube. And speaking of all that, please do hit the subscribe button because, again, we put out interviews every single week, three a week, in fact, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So it'd be great to have you keeping up. iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. So thanks to Sheryl Crow. Thanks to you for listening to this episode. Please also head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, an hour full of song premieres and music news, anniversary spins, and bonus interviews. Again, that's Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence of Sound has your music and film news. You can also find me on the socials, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all of them at Kyle Meredith. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, I'm Jen, and I love horror movies.
I'm Mikey. I'm dead inside, and I also love horror movies.
And we really like to torture our friend Todd because he hates horror movies.
That I do. And that's why they call me the horror virgin.
That's the only reason we call him that.
I'm not. No other reasons at all.
Whatever. So every
week, we take him through the encyclopedia of horror, the good, the bad, the ridiculously Jack Frosts.
And then we make fun of it more or less.
Or explain its deceptive feminism.
Oh. Yeah, exactly. That's what I do. That's my thing.
And I'm the funny one. Our episodes drop on Monday, so check us out.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.